The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. In order to stay ahead in business, you need to be on the pulse of the business world, current news, and politics. We'll provide the thought-provoking topics and show you where we have been, what's next, and what it means for you at home. Life's complicated. Let Andy help you figure it out. Now, here is your host, Andy Bush.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm your host and guide on this journey through economics, politics, and everything in between. Remember, you can get today's podcast on iTunes by typing in Engage with Andy Bush, and you can get this podcast on my past podcast at andrewbush.com. Now, in this segment, joining us to discuss the latest Washington mayhem is returning guest Greg Valliere. Mr. Valliere is the chief political strategist for Potomac Research, and he joins us from D.C. Greg and I can be seen on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo, and she's got a new show, doesn't she, Greg? She's like now on for like 8 hours a day, I think, on Fox in the morning.
That's a long time. You and I would need extra makeup if we had to do 8 hours a day.
I think, yes, at least, and a change of shirts, probably.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get started, because we got a lot of stuff to go on. There's a lot of things happening over this next month in D.C. You've got a trade bill. You've got Paul Ryan's tax reform stuff. You've got a Supreme Court ruling on the health care bill, and you've got the Iranian negotiations. Where do you want to start, Greg?
Well, you're right, Andy. There's a lot of big stories. First of all, we've got this trade bill, very controversial. Elizabeth Warren and organized labor don't like it.
Right.
I think it's going to make it.
The TPA, mm-hmm. Right? The Trade Promotion Authority.
Yes, fast track. It would expand trade in the Pacific. It has a lot of opponents, but I think there's just barely enough votes in the House to pass it. Probably 200 Republicans, maybe a little under 20 Democrats. It's going to be a close call, but the leadership has said they're going to have a vote in a couple of weeks, in mid-June, and if they said that, that's a pretty good sign they think they'll have the vote. So that's going to be one big story. We've got another big one, of course, in the Iranian nuclear deal, and I think with John Kerry in the hospital, with both sides way far apart on details, I don't think they'll hit their deadline of June 30. I think this is going to drag on for quite some time. Then you've got the Supreme Court, which is going to rule late in June on Obamacare subsidies. I think on that one, it's a story of, you know, the old joke about the dog that caught the car.
Right.
You know, the dog chases the car and catches it. Well, what am I going to do now? So if the Supreme Court throws out the Obamacare subsidies, then the Republicans have to come up with an alternative. You know, Paul Ryan will talk about tax incentives, but I'm not quite sure what their alternative is going to be. So that will be a very interesting story as well. And then finally, we have the wild card of the summer. And that's a big tax reform proposal, business tax reform proposal from Paul Ryan.
Well, let me break down a few of these. Let's start with the big tax reform bill from Ryan. I know one of the key areas that has been focused on has been the repatriation of foreign earnings. The extraterritorial nature mm-hmm. of the tax code means that
yep.
the U.S. tries to tax multinational companies or anybody selling overseas who keeps the money overseas. They've been trying to put a tax on them. The president has put forward a proposal to just say you have to pay 20% regardless whether you bring it back or not, which is somewhat confiscatory. But what are you hearing that Ryan is going to do on this? Because it is this that is the big of pot of gold that's out there to pay for yep. whatever else they're going to do with tax reform.
Well, you're right, Andy. And, of course, whenever I hear an idea that sounds too good to be true, it usually is too good to be true. But the buzz on
this
one...
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of years in D.C. Let me just say that.
But there's quite a buzz on this story. I mean, Ryan, I think, and everyone agrees, we've got to reform corporate taxes. And I think he'd like to lower the very high top rate we have of 35%, and he would kill a lot of tax breaks. But the other part of the bill would be, as you say, this repatriation. So some of it would go to corporations that could hopefully hire new workers, you know, purchase new plant and equipment, increase stock dividends, a lot of interesting angles if companies got a revenue windfall. But one of the most interesting angles is that some of this money would go for a big infrastructure bill, you know, bridges, highways, dams, which all need the money. I mean, we've been doing Band-Aids. We had a two-month extension a few weeks ago of the Highway Trust Fund. You can't run a government by doing two-month extensions every once in a while. So yeah. I think the buzz now is that some of this money would go for a massive infrastructure bill. The bottom line, of course, is could we get something this dramatic done in 2015? I mean, I think eventually something like this will be enacted, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure it can be done this year.
Yeah, it is disappointing to see just the two-month extension on the highway bill, and I still don't understand how they're going to pay for it. To think that they could wrap up the highway bill with business tax reform mm-hmm. in 2015 is mm-hmm. beyond fantasy. I mean, there's just no way that they're going to be able to do this. And specifically, I think, I know Ryan wants to come out with a plan, and I've been personally telling audiences that I think he's going to do it by the fall, which seems to, you know, work, jibe really well with what you're saying. But, I mean, this is clearly a 2016 issue for the next leader.
And there are two obstacles. Number one, at what rate do you want to tax this money coming back? I mean, the Republicans and Ryan would like to tax it at a 5 or 6% rate. The White House would like 15 or 16%. So they've got to iron out that one. The other obstacle is that with a load of cash this enormous, Everyone is going to want to get their fingers on it. The Democrats are going to say, I'd like to get a little of it.
Yeah, you really. I mean, too. How about the Andy Bush Fund? I like
there
that.
There you go. But the Democrats are going to say, well, okay, we'll spend money on infrastructure, but what about education, job training? So there'll be a lot of claims on that money. And I think that's another reason why getting this done this year is a very heavy lift.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's an excellent point, you know, because as we all know, if there's money to spend, well, that's the reason most of these guys get reelected to go to Washington, D.C., aside
Bingo.
From the Tea Party people. Unless mm-hmm. you can come back to your district and say, this is what I promised you to do, this is what I brought here, then it's a tough sell to get reelected. So,
that's right.
Well, let's take this into something that could actually generate economic growth, which is, of course, trade and free trade. We've got two big free trade pacts that are sitting out there, the Trans-Pacific trade bill and then the TTIP, the Trans-Atlantic, whatever it's called. I forget the acronyms. But the one that we're focused on, of course, is the TPA, which is the Trade Promotion Authority. That's the fast-track ability for the president to negotiate these bills so that he gets an up-and-down vote in Congress. This has passed the Senate, and you briefly talked about what's going on in the House. I didn't realize that they had made an announcement of the June, you know, from the leadership in the House that they're going to actually get this thing on a vote. That surprises me. Who made that announcement, and what do you think the fallout
sure.
on that is?
Well, Kevin McCarthy is the number two Republican, has said they were going to schedule a vote in the first 2 weeks of June. Some people are now saying in the third week of June. But they realize, like, you know, a dead fish that's sitting in the summer sun, it starts to attract flies after a few days. So they don't want to they don't want this bill to just sit there because it will attract more opposition. On the left, you know, organized labor points to NAFTA and other trade deals, and they're convinced that it has not helped U.S. workers. And on the right, an awful lot of Tea Party Republicans are very leery about giving Barack Obama more authority to act as he pleases on this fast track.
Right.
So there's opposition. I understand that. But I think the center will hold, the center being Boehner. McConnell, of course, supported it. The White House. I think Paul Ryan is a strong supporter of it. So is Ted Cruz. So I think there's enough support to get this trade bill done.
Well, one of the people that's going against it, of course, is Elizabeth Warren, and she's had a big week where she came out and ripped on the SEC and the XM Bank, but at the same time, her Run Warren Run group is disbanded, so clearly she is not going to be in the race. And that leaves it kind of open to guys like Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley And I want to just add in, Lindsey Graham announced this over the last 7 days, too. I mean, this field is getting ridiculously crowded. I mean, what's the game plan here? Are O'Malley and Sanders just vying for king of progressives?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe O'Malley's thinking of the vice presidency, but I would say that if for Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley to beat Hillary for the nomination would be the greatest upset in our lives. I just think it's extremely unlikely, even though I think there's going to be more revelations about the Clinton Foundation and her emails.
Right.
You talk to Democrats in this town, and they're very worried about more to come. But mm-hmm. I think she will be the nominee, and perhaps a wounded nominee in the general election. On the Republican side, it's like the old joke, you know, form a circular firing squad. So you've got 15 or 16 people who are all going to be blasting away. Everyone's going to rip into Rand Paul. The establishment Republicans think he's too isolationist, and everyone's going to rip into Jeb, of course. The mm-hmm. the activists are going to say that he's too centrist, and I just can't see this process, with maybe even Donald Trump coming in, being good for the Republican brand. I don't think it's healthy for the brand. In the meantime, though, Andy, I have flipped my call. I've said all during the winter I thought Jeb was the favorite.
Right.
I have him at number two now. He's in a slump.
All right.
It wasn't that it took him four answers to get it right on Iraq. It was that he hadn't thought that people would ask him the question.
Yeah, that's
he didn't
weak.
Have an answer ready.
That's
so I have Jeb at number two, and right now, it's still early, but right now I have Marco Rubio as the favorite.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been very critical of is the Bush camp's ability to communicate. This
yep.
is what I said just last week when we were on with Maria on
yep.
Fox. It's just, I mean, I did an analysis of Christie and Walker and Bush, and Walker, who's my favorite, I think Walker will clearly win Iowa.
Yes.
I don't know how far he gets beyond that, but
yep.
That inability of Jeb Bush, their group and Jeb Bush to communicate effectively, to grab the audience, to emotionally connect with the audience, is really something that's going to hold them back significantly. It's something that Walker is really good at. Marco Rubio's got a good narrative. He's got a great story to tell,
yep.
and a less so Ted Cruz. But I would say of those three, I would list Walker first, Rubio second, and Bush third.
And I tell you, and I can't argue, and I tell you this, I would say that every 8 years the country wants a change. It's normal, it's healthy, it's cathartic. People want something different. Can you really argue that Jeb or Hillary would be agents of change? I realize that she's a really interesting story because of her gender, but I would say if you want a change agent, it's got to be Marco Rubio or Scott Walker.
Yeah, I would agree. And Walker's got the man. I mean, he's really got the credentials for change for what he did in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just shift gears in the minute or two
sure.
that we got left here, because I want to take a step back from the presidential race and say and ask your questions on this. The field is so crowded now. I'm not sure that really the new entrants are going to get their toe on it. But from a 2016 standpoint, isn't this really? The field is so crowded. Isn't this really a symptom of Citizens United, in that now almost any candidate that has got a sugar daddy of big dollars gets to enter the field and can stay in there for a while?
Yeah, you know, the money is going to be staggering. I have a friend who is invested in TV stations and networks that will benefit from extensive political ads. It's a legitimate stock play.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think the amount of money, it makes it fairly likely that this will be a really long slog for the Republicans going into April, May, maybe even till the end in California. And in a long slog, whoever has the most money will probably win. That's why you can't rule out Jeb Bush. But I think both Walker and Rubio will have plenty of money as well.
Yeah, they definitely Rubio, there was a big write-up in the New York Times recently about his connection with one of his
mm-hmm.
big donors. I'm not sure who's backing Scott Walker as far as any big, I mean, like specific big donors. Bush has locked up a lot of the big donors and big bundlers in Washington, D.C., which is pretty astounding already.
And if, Andy, if you wanted to give me the right odds and I could go to Vegas and put a little money on a long shot,
right.
I don't rule out John Kasich. He has a phenomenal resume. He's been a great governor. He's reasonable. He's a little feisty. He's got a, sometimes he shows an attitude, comes from exactly the right state, Ohio, that you want to win. I think it's a little too early to write off Kasich.
Well, he's my vice presidential candidate for sure. I mean, I think if Rubio wins, he will pick Kasich for sure. And you've got two guys from two of the biggest swing states in the country that are critical for winning the presidential election. All right, today we covered it all with my good friend Greg Valliere, as always, from Potomac Research. Thanks for coming on today.
All right, my pleasure.
Take care, Greg. All right, you're listening to Engage. We'll take a quick break. I'm Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Do you know how to tell a great story? In business, the stories you tell play a big role in your success. Whether you're trying to get more clients or influence people as a leader, storytelling will help you do it. Story Powered with Leanne Pico is here to help you activate your storytelling superpower to build a better business and achieve your goals and dreams. Story Powered can be heard live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.